Loyal listeners, if you would like to get the HLS podcast ad-free, as well as get some bonus content like the National Recap podcast, as well as some other random musings from myself, make sure you head over to patreon.com/ndtex. It is just $1 a month or more, if you so choose, to access all of this bonus content. And I would like to thank new patrons, Brian S. and Brent L. Thank you all so much for your support. Hello and welcome to another edition of the HLX Picks Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Ritter. You can call me NDTex. As always, you can subscribe to our little pod and everything that comes with it over at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to come swing by Discord. That is our live chat channel, herlowellsons.com/discord. Twitch.tv/herlowellsons is where you want to be for sim action Thursday night around 9 p.m., and of course, you can always find us in our home at herlowellsons.com. And with that said, time to bring in Eddie. Eddie, how you doing, sir?
Ryan, nobody can say that you and I do not believe in kayfabe. We are keeping this battle tight to the end. It's, man, I'm whatever happens, the fact that we're keeping our bad weeks to 500, and we're both, I mean, you're at 56%, I'm at 57.6% on the year.
Pretty freaking awesome.
We're going out with a bang at least, but ooh, buddy, it's always got to be close, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was 6-6. Thank you, Northwestern, for coming back on Iowa. God. Words I never thought I would say. But it works out just well for Wake Forest fucking collapsing against UNC. So there's a lot of back and forth. As Eddie alluded to, we both
Ole Miss with the pick in the end zone, yep, at the buzzer for the back door. I mean, there were a lot of ways that could have gone.
There was all kinds of bonkers going on. We both went 6-6. I am still two games behind Eddie. And this is very important because there is $200 on the line for Extra Life. We only got a few weeks left in this little battle. And what if we're talking about Extra Life, Friday evening at about 6:30 p.m., somewhere in between there, Central Time, twitch.tv/ndtex is where you want to go, because I will be doing a 24-hour gaming marathon, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, with crowd control, meaning you can do a lot of things to me, and I don't know they're coming. It can be some glorious disaster. I'm looking forward to it. Every 10 deaths I have, I'm doing a Hot Ones challenge. Every 500 rays, I'm taking a shot. Eddie dropped that the bomb off. I still got to get rid of it, so that's going to be in play.
Still plenty of that left, huh?
At the very tail end. I have used it in a lot of things, and every single time, Eddie, it's an absolute disaster. I don't understand how something was made so painful.
Some people just want to watch the world burn, Ryan.
But there's spicier, like on Scoville rating, there's spicier stuff that is not as bad as that. That's what I don't understand.
It's just the battery acid effect.
It's just terrible. Like somebody, I love hot sauce, and I wish I had better spice tolerance in my life, especially being half Mexican. It's funny, my full-blood Mexican mom has zero spice tolerance, so I blame her for not being over the edge. Mm. But man, that stuff is painful. Like legitimately, I'm drinking milk. I'm having to eat bread. I put it in a drink one time, and that was the worst decision I ever made in my life, because it just continued to burn with the alcohol and everything else. Just no bueno all over. So, translation, I do dumb shit for charity. We've already raised over $10,000 here to date. I'm shooting for $15,000, at least trying to get over the $13,000 mark to top my friends over at Game HQ, who raised $12,000 plus this past weekend.
Game H, boo, because they're going down. Suck it, jerks.
Yes, all for charity. All right, but that's coming this weekend. We got picks to have, Eddie. I still got to catch up with you. Two games. I got few weeks to go. Is this going to come down to not just Army-Navy, but also SC Cal? That got rescheduled.
That did get rescheduled. We may actually have a twofer on the board. That adds an interesting element to the game, actually.
I never thought we would have COVID rescheduling in the playbook for 2021, but here we are, especially a team that was fully vaxxed. That's an outbreak and a half, man.
Well, and it's not necessarily an outbreak as much as it is the local regs in Berkeley are that much more. So I think like one person takes down the entire room.
Probably.
So I feel bad for those players. I think it was their quarterback posted a long notes post on Twitter the other day of like, we're trying to get answers and nobody will fucking tell us what's going on.
Oh, damn, really?
It sucks, man. Well, it really sucks.
Because the Pac-12 has regulations to where if a team is found at fault, basically, and not following protocols, it's a straight-up forfeit. So the fact SC, a team that needs every win right now to be bowl eligible, saying, yeah, we might need this one and we feel bad about taking it from you, That should tell you everything you need to know right there, because they've been doing everything right. It sucks. Oh, man. All right. Well, we got 12 games not affected by COVID that are on our sheet. Are you ready to go, Eddie?
Let's go, baby.
All right. We start off with a Thursday night tilt. This will be at 6:30 p.m. in God's time zone on ESPN. North Carolina coming off their upset of Wake Forest. Well, not an upset for the books. They were favored by 2.5, and of course they had to fucking win by 3. Thanks, guys.
Stink lines.
They're going up against Pitt, who's at home and is a 6.5 point favorite. The total in this one is 73. Eddie, please lead us off, sir.
I'm hoping by tomorrow night this creeps all the way up to 7, but I'm going to take the points in the shootout here. I don't think we're going to get all the way into the 70s like the total suggests, because, you know, you get that Thursday night weirdness. And, man, Pitt is still Pitt. Like, I'm not – you don't go to Pittsburgh for a fucking 70-point game. But I do think there will be plenty of points scored, and we're going to go back to the old faithful. Give me the heels, points in a shootout.
Yep, points in a shootout. I'm sticking with it. Points, 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 points. We are pretty much right on the number with 7, and I do see this being another close one. The only thing I fear, Eddie, is that UNC is like, oh, we finally did it, and then they just collapse.
If a history of watching Mac Brown football has taught me anything, that's exactly how this goes. So that's certainly on the board, but then you counter that with Pitt being Pitt. So there's some wash out there.
You counter it with Pitt being Pitt. You also counter it on 58% of the tickets and 86% of the money is laying on Pitt. Not a gigantic disparity as far as raw tickets. I would definitely wish that was in 60-70 range to feel better about this, but line hasn't moved that much. It's only moved a point. It opened this weekend at 5.5 and only a 1-point movement. Feel pretty decent about this one. So yeah, let's go ahead and go with UNC. Well, next up is a game that we were committed that we would pick, because we figured this was going to be a bloodbath. Like, what would Vegas make this spread? And then all of a sudden, Eddie, Clemson didn't look so hot for the season.
And now appears the lines makers have not been paying attention, though.
I know. So we have the real Sophie's Choice coming up. This is 11 a.m., your noon kick on the ACC Network, where Clemson is facing off against UConn. The total in this game right now is 48.5. The spread is Clemson favored by 40.5. I don't want to take UConn. I really don't. This fucking terrifies me. I mean, Clemson's defense is real good, but am I really going to trust him to put up 40 points in a game? That's really what it comes down to. I'm nervous. I don't like this. This just feels way too much. It feels way too weird. As of right now, people are staying the fuck away from this one. They're not even 500 bets, according to the Action Network. I'm going to take a gamble here, Eddie. I'm saying UConn's good enough for maybe 6 points. That might be all they need. Who do you got?
Can't, I can't wait for this. I cannot wait to bet this game. You know why?
Why?
Because it's UConn easy. Clemson could be on the field by their fucking selves, and I don't know if I would trust them to score 40 points.
I'm glad you feel confident about this. I feel better now.
I mean, the most they've scored all year is 30. They've done that twice. Connecticut has shown life from time to time this year. You throw in the fact this is an 11 a.m. kick, you don't lay that many points in the morning, man. People are coming out. They ain't waking up frisky. As we'll get into later, I laid 43 against Georgia last week and covered. That's too many points, especially at this time, and with an offense that is abject dog shit. Like, I get the jokes. It makes sense. But man, I don't think you can trust Clemson to score that many points. I love the under too.
Yeah.
So it's a coordinated play, obviously.
97% of the bettors right now are on the under. Not that many right now, but yeah. It's a lot of that's a whole fucking two games worth of points, man. And I know UConn's defense is dog shit, but I can't. And I tell you what. Random aside, if I see one more goddamn tweet from the Clemson beat about Dabo going Ted Lasso, I'm gonna fucking lose it, man. I he's not
the dude is dismissive hand wink personified, and he's not getting nearly enough shit for how bad this team has been with how good they should have been. This was a projected playoff team by everyone.
We both had DJ as our Heisman frontrunner.
Yeah, I mean, there's no excuse for this type of fall off with the level of talent that team has and the level of recruiting that team has been doing. This is piss poor coaching, and Dabo's not getting nearly enough shit for it.
Hey, I'm happy to give him plenty of shit for it, because one of his last press conferences, and I didn't want the poor beat reporter's mentions getting dogged, like, shat all over, but he's talking about how in the bus back from Louisville, they're talking about
how... Oh, God, I saw the bus driver said, this is the nicest group of boys I've had in 15 years. Shut the fuck up.
Champions God of life already. Bless.
Oh, I hate him. I hate everything about him. He is so antithetical to everything I want out of a college football coach, except for when he's winning. That's all I'm looking for. next game, please. It's too early to get this fired up.
Next game is 11 a.m. on ABC at God's Time Zone. Big Ten matchup. Michigan, who is apparently now better than Michigan State because the games don't matter and we're just making shit up every week, is a half-point favorite against Penn State on the road. Totals 48.5. Who do you got, Eddie?
Well, Ryan, you know that if nothing else, I'm a man of principle.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, we start with our principles here. The I believe the main pillar that we run this on, fuck Michigan.
Yes.
So we start there. We go to our second pillar. We fade the public whenever we can. Decent amount of action on this one. World's on Michigan. This line feels real low for a team of Michigan's caliber with only one loss versus the trouble Penn State's had all year. Little smell? Maybe like one little cartoon stink line?
There's always some stink lines coming out of Ann Arbor, let's be honest.
Of course. And then you look at Harbaugh, you know, Harbaugh on the road in big games, not good. Lost his last two trips to Happy Valley. It's only their fourth road game all year when they lost to Sparty. Should have lost to Nebraska on the road. This team does not travel well. So I will be taking, and yes, I realize that means that I'm trusting fucking Penn State. And
the game management guru, the future SC really, head coach himself.
Yeah, hopefully the future head coach, James Franklin of USC. But I'm going to take Penn State here.
Yep, very much fuck Michigan principles in play here. But not only that, you mentioned a lot of things about Harbaugh. How about the fact that it doesn't seem to know what fucking quarterback he wants to go with? Is he even sure right now?
I don't know.
Because he was very gun-shy. He made some interesting substitutions in that Sparty game. Look, Penn State, and here's the other thing. Penn State's got to be feeling robbed right now by the fucking committee. Like, they got to be looking. It's like, hey, we got quality wins too. Like, what the fuck, man? You launch Purdue into the stratosphere and you don't even consider us? I think there's a little bit of disrespect coming there from Penn State.
You know, I heard that argument. I guess it was on Stanford Steve and the Bear that Penn State's getting disrespected and all that. But here's the thing. You did fucking lose to Illinois.
Yeah, that happened.
And I know, and
it's not really hurting Oregon right now, and they're lost to Stanford, so just saying.
I
mean,
that's, yeah. Again, kids, I think we've made this, well, at least I've tried to make this abundantly clear on the podcast. Don't fucking watch the ranking show. It does not matter. There's a month worth of games left. This shit will work itself out. Quit getting... There's one reason that they put Michigan ahead of Michigan State. It's so that all of you motherfuckers would tweet and yell on radio shows and be angry about it for a week because there was nothing else for them to talk about.
The fodder cannon's own. I actually wrote about that on my Patreon. It's like, I've turned the corner. They're just making up storylines left and right. That's all it is. They're trying to make TV every week.
Everything is wrestling. This is fucking kayfabe. do not worry about it. It always works itself out in the end. If it gets to the last week of the season and then we have this tomfoolery, then yes, that's when you get angry. But guys, we're just getting into November. You ain't got to do this to yourselves.
Don't have to, but it's always fun to get worked up.
As I've tweeted in the past and as Jessica Smetana had this week on Tuesday night, if the college football committee actually gave a shit about college football, they'd be watching the action that is on right now.
Right, and you know they're not. You know they are not.
No, of course not. And... I think there's been kind of a growing frustration about the playoffs the last few years of how, you know, I was watching a MAC game earlier tonight and they're talking about playoff rankings.
Every fucking game. It doesn't even matter if the teams, like, it'll be Arizona, like, fighting a pile of grass in a game and they will talk about it.
Yeah. You don't have to talk playoffs on every game. You don't have to talk Heisman on every game. Call the game you're calling. I know that's a crazy idea, but just maybe, you know, if it gets into a 60-point blowout and you're filling time, okay, I'll give you that. But in the second quarter of a one-score game, let's pump the brakes for me, would you?
All right, well, we can't pump the brakes here because we got to go full headlong into Big Noon Saturday over on Fox, Eddie, where Oklahoma is on the road and a 5.5-point favorite over the Baylor Bears. Total in this one is 63. And OU's been a very, very interesting team, to say the least. They finally got their quarterback now. But if you will remember the last time he was on the road in the terrifying, and I mean terrifying, atmosphere that is Lawrence, Kansas, he needed to have some heroics just to win the fucking game. Forget about covering. And now you're facing a Baylor team that just had a big what-the-fuck loss themselves. I don't know. They caught some weird Disney script against TCU, and they were on the wrong side of it. One of the weirdest games ever. A game I wish I had never touched with Space Bucks. I'm like, oh, head coach fired, team falling apart, this will be great. I didn't expect the backup to come in and fucking light things up. That all being said, Baylor can't be surprised on film with this one. They know who's coming. They're at home. I'm actually depending on that being the difference here. I don't know if Caleb Williams can quite travel yet, because if you're fucking up against Kansas, I don't know if I can trust you in a game of actual, you know, this thing matters. Like, if Oklahoma loses, they just got told by the committee, I know we're kayfabe and everything, that they hadn't beaten anybody yet. Texas out here playing 4D chess by sucking that hard. That was the best quality win they could have had. So I'm going to go with my gut here, and I'm actually going to take Baylor. There's not a whole lot of bets here, but the public has 74% of the bets, but 51% of the money on Baylor. Only 1,300, not a whole lot, but that's the public going in, I think, the wrong direction here. I'm going to trust Caleb Williams on the road when I can trust Caleb Williams on the road. Who you got, Eddie?
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you all the way. We're simpatico on the early slate this time around, which is not usually how we've been going the last few weeks. Like you said, the betting numbers, somebody might know something that we don't. But the bigger thing for me is I don't trust OU to cover. They're only 3-5 against the number this year. The game last week for Baylor against TCU was very strange. They got dead coach bounced. Like, I did not think that was going to happen. I thought that Gary Patterson being told this is going to be your last year, but we'd like you to coach it out, and him telling the AD to go fuck himself, which a well-deserved right for him to do with what he's done for that program.
One of a Rose Bowl, for crying out loud, man.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they dug up a new quarterback who, okay, maybe it was time for Gary to go if he hadn't found him yet. But yeah, that was a weird one, but I don't trust OU to cover, and Baylor's been solid against the number, 5-3 on the year, so I'm going to take the Bears as well.
Wow. Well, let's see if we stay simpatico on this one. Auburn and Mississippi State. Mississippi State, who was bolstered last week by the committee because of ranking shenanigans, found themselves falling out. Auburn found themselves with bad Bo Nix, only for one play, really. But it cost them. It was the only touchdown in the A&M game. Look, both of, I see you shaking your head. That was a defensive battle, Eddie. A defensive battle with A&M.
Oh, okay. Sure.
This is going to be 11 a.m. Central Time over at ESPN. Auburn is a 5.5 favorite on the Plains. Total is 50. Who do you got, Eddie?
You know, both teams are coming off a loss here. At home, I'm willing to give Bo Nix a little bit of credit. I'm willing to trust Bo Nix a little bit further than I would on the road. And I don't know what the fuck Mississippi State's offense is. I don't even think Mike Leach knows. I don't know. Mike Leach is more worried about the MyPillow guy these days. I don't know what the fuck's going on in his head. I'm gonna take Auburn at home. They always play well in front of their fellow Tiger Eagle Plainsmen. We'll throw some toilet paper. Have a good time. Give me Auburn.
I can't believe we're both going with Bo Nix on the same fucking week. And you stole my reasoning too, Eddie.
He's at home, man.
He's at home. Apparently, that's where things actually fucking work out. Like, I mean, last week's game was such shit. It was real bad. It was to the point to where, you know, my dad, I'm at my parents' house, right? And my dad has it on the big TV. I got the Navy game on my iPad, which, you know, I get it. That's actually the big game. That's fine. But God, was it a slog. And it was just like, anybody going to do anything? And Bo fucked up. It's like, well, this one's over. Like, my dad literally asked, he's like, you want to turn the Notre Dame game on? I was like, no, this one's nearly done. Like,
yeah, also over. Yeah. So going back to our conversation last week.
Oh, we got fucked last week.
I would have really loved to have seen what happened if we got simultaneous kickoffs. The Premier League game ran a little long, so NBC backed up the kickoff about 10, 15 minutes. So it would have been close, though. It would have been real close.
Yeah. Instead, we got the soccer delay. It's a good thing it was Navy, because if it was like some bullshit shootout game where there's fucking incomplete passes all over the place and it lasts all the way into like the 6 o'clock hour, I would have hated life.
It's like 7:30 before the game ends.
Bless, we had Navy instead. Wow. So we're both taking Bo at home. And here's the other thing. Auburn's defense is surprisingly, seemingly getting better every week. And here's the thing. Mississippi State may not know what the fuck their offense is, but they need to figure it out with that defense, or they're going to have a real bad time. As long as there's no fucking weird targeting or any other shit, I like Smoke Monday and the rest of the secondary against whatever Mississippi State's going to throw out there.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the losses last week. A&M is a very solid team. Arky, this is not September Arkansas. You know, that loss looks a lot worse than it may have earlier in the season.
Yep, unfortunately. All right, well, 2:30 p.m. over on CBS, we got your SEC matchup here. Georgia is a 20.5 point favorite on the road against the Vols. Well, you were talking about laying points or taking the points with Georgia because it was an early game. This one not as early. It's against a team that, hey, they're a little bit fun to watch, but boy, you get some dogs that are wide awake and ready to go on defense. Basically, Georgia, I always feel like whatever the spread is, Georgia needs half a point more, and they'll be fine. So I will go ahead and lay all those points with the dogs. Who you got?
Yeah, like I said, I did fade Georgia last week, but it's a lot easier to fade when the number is 43 than 20.5. I'm taking the dogs here. I just don't think Tennessee can hang. I think this is going to be ugly.
Very few teams can.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're pretty well in agreement that there are very few good teams this year, but Georgia's the best of them. That's for damn sure.
Which the only funny part is, if like Georgia follows classic Georgia, the collapse in the postseason will be the one that stings the most for this fan base. Like, if you blow it this year, I don't even know what to tell you.
You're right. But, I mean, the Braves didn't blow it. The setup was there for them to at 3-1, but they didn't. So maybe this is the year. Maybe fucking Luda's going to be able to finally bang that girl at the 50-yard line of the Georgia Dome. Who knows?
On that note, it's time for us to take a break. We'll see if Eddie and I will start disagreeing right after this.
Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get a deeper insight into the Notre Dame football program from somebody that lived it as both a player as well as in the inside of the athletic department, we suggest picking up a copy of If These Walls Could Talk, Stories from Notre Dame Fighting Irish Sideline, Locker Room, and Press Box by none other than Reggie Brooks himself. Reggie will dive into everything from his time playing under Lou Holtz all the way up to the experiences of watching Brian Kelly lead today's Fighting Irish. And we are happy to extend a 25% offer off the book just by going to herloyalsons.com/book. Make sure you use the code WALLSND25. That's WALLSND25 when you make your order. Again, head over to herloyalsons.com/book. Use the code WALLSND25 and enjoy a great addition to your Notre Dame football library.
Okay, we're going to flip back to the Big Ten. We got another big-time matchup here, I guess. 2:30 ABC, the giant killer Purdue walking in to the horseshoe, as Ohio State is favored at 20.5 as well, much like Georgia. Total on this one is 62. Who do you got, Eddie?
This is tough. This is really tough for me. We've been banging the drum, pun intended, on Purdue making upsets all year. But here's the problem. Everyone sees it coming now. Everyone's expecting it. The betting numbers are all on Purdue right now. Everybody's super high on it. And in fact, it's gotten bet down below the key number. We're down to 20.5. This game opened 24 some spots, 23, 23.5, somewhere in there. Now we're under 21. We know what Purdue wants to do. All they have in their fucking toolkit is throw the ball to Bell. The trick is, they've been very good at doing it. Ohio State, though, I feel like A, knows it's coming, and B, has the horses to stop it. Ohio State's offense scares the shit out of me with this type of a spread. Little bear fact for you. Wow. Only 2 touchdowns in their last 9 red zone trips. Gonna need to clean that up. Yeah.
Wow. That's atrocious. That's
really, really bad, especially with the talent on that team. But there's been some field goal surrender plays. It's all very concerning. But at the end of the day, they've got a tough stretch coming and know they need to get right. They've got to start firing on all cylinders. And I think they have the defensive talent to go after a one-trick pony offense. It's a real good trick. Don't get me wrong. But much like Kyle Hamilton came with the Lariato to the back and put his ass down, I think Ohio State knows it's coming and will be bracketing him pretty much the entire game. The fading the public is what really ends it for me. I don't feel good about this one, but I'm taking the Buckeyes.
Well, it finally happened. We disagree.
And shit.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't think this is going to be an upset because, like you said, Ohio State knows it's coming. What seals it for me more so than anything is, look, the last two games have been close-ish, and I don't think C.J. Stroud is bad. I think he has been more under duress these past couple of weeks. And here's the thing that Purdue actually has. They got a pass rusher. They might just have only one, but Karloftis, he's fucking good, man. Like, he is actually legitimately good. And I think that is the difference in this one, is that CJ makes just enough mistakes for this to end up going to cover town. I agree with you. I don't like that I'm with the public in this, Eddie. And it's pretty solid. 78% of the bets is what Action Network is showing. I will say this. I see a spot on the Action Network that I visit fairly often that has this at 21. So I know exactly what I'm doing after this podcast. I'm going to go ahead and take that number because I like that more than 20.5. Yeah. But really, at the end of the day, I agree. I don't think they're going to be able to hit Bell as often as they were able to in their other upsets. And yeah, at this point, if Ohio State doesn't know it's coming, it's coaching malpractice at this point. Now you got them Purdue vaulted into number 19 from unranked, which is beyond hilarious. Again, the good old kayfabe. They're setting up Purdue for failure. The failure will happen. They won't beat Ohio State, but man, I just don't see them getting beat by 21 points. I just don't see that much of a collapse happening, especially when the total is 62. I mean, you're basically trying to tell me what it's going to be a like 40-20 game. I don't know about that.
42-21?
Yeah, I don't see that. I can see this being just under the 40 spot for Ohio State, and I think Purdue will. Hey, we've seen it with Notre Dame. They're a frustrating team to play, and I tell you what, that win is looking better and better as time goes on. However, they are using a different quarterback than they were in that game, so hey, maybe the changes are good. All right, let's see if we keep the disagreements going, because we have a good old rivalry, good old hatred coming down the pipe here. Miami and Florida State. Miami a 2.5-point favorite on the road going into Tallahassee. This game will be a 2:30 over on ESPN. I look at this line, Eddie, and I'm like, Miami's only favored by 2.5? Really? Like, I know Florida State's been a little bit more functional. That line, I don't know if I'll take your judgment on how much it stinks, Eddie. But the first moment I saw this line, I was like, that makes no sense to me. This smells a little bit. Now, there's not a whole lot of bets, but on early betting, the entire effing world is on Miami right now. I would have expected Miami to be a touchdown favorite in this one, even though they're on the road. Something's weird. I don't feel right. Can't believe I'm going to do this, but give me the Noles. Who do you got?
I'm on the Canes here, actually. I feel like you could have put this line anywhere from a pick'em to a touchdown, and I'd have been like, all right, sure. I mean, there's been so much up and down with both of these teams. At this point, for me, I like the way that Miami's offense has looked lately. I think that, I mean, again, it sucks that this is how we got here with the injuries Derek King had and all that having to shut down, but honestly, since the switch, Tyler Van Dyke has looked real fucking good. I mean,
looked real good.
He's got 15 touchdowns in what, 4 games started? He's been playing real well, and I just, that Florida State off the their O-line is trash. The offense is bad. They have a good D-line, but the secondary can't tackle. There's too many questions on Florida State's side for me. I'm going to take the Canes.
All right. We got another interesting one. This is going to be kicking off about the time I'm winding my 24-hour marathon down. Prime time, 6 p.m., God's time zone, ESPN. Texas A&M Fighting Aggies are a 2.5-point favorite on the road against Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. Total is 55.5. Who do you got, Eddie?
I haven't seen enough of Zach Calzone on the road to trust him yet, but more importantly, College Game Day is coming to their city. We're in Oxford for the first time since the Katy Perry game in 2014 against Bama.
I need to know where she's at right now and if she's been called.
I'm telling you this much right now. If Katy Perry shows up on my television screen at 10:50 a.m., every part of my net worth is on Ole Miss. Beyond that, though, Corral's back. He's good to go. I like Ole Miss at home. This is I don't know why I love this fucking Ole Miss team as much as I do. It's weird. It doesn't make any sense. But they're fun as hell, and they put points up like crazy. I don't like A&M in a shootout. I don't like A&M chasing. I don't like A&M on the road. So give me Ole Miss.
Tell you what, I too will take the oldest Mississippi you got, Eddie. And what's
interesting,
what's doing it for me is the fact that I have watched Calzada play a little bit, and he's not that great. Now, granted, Ole Miss does not have much of a defense to write home about. Texas A&M does, especially that defensive line. But here's the thing. I think there's a quarterback good enough in Matt Corral to be able to take over, and maybe not take over is the wrong word, but he'll be able to manage that Aggie defensive front. And if you could weather that storm, you could do a lot of damage to this team. Because like you said, Eddie, if Ole Miss gets up, A&M's not built to chase. What happened against Alabama was as awesome as it was, and as much as I was cheering on my couch and laughing my ass off at Bama, that is, look, you shot your shot. Like, he's not doing that again. I've seen too many instances where he can't. And, you know, the last game against Auburn was a great example. The only touchdown scored in that game was by the defense. Now, granted, Auburn, much better defense than Ole Miss. So I know that that's not going to happen again. But, no, if we're thinking the total's up to 55, that's Vegas saying, I think Ole Miss is going to score some points. So they're going to score some points. They're going to go ahead and beat the Aggies. And I tell you what, Lane, he takes such joy in ruining people. And this is because right now, Eddie, believe it or not, Texas A&M has an outside shot. I heard it today on the Solid Verbal as I was listening. Hey, A&M's got a shot at winning the SEC West.
They on Stanford Stephen the Bear, went through this whole thing where he was like, I got 35-1 on A&M to win the SEC.
You might as
is
well.
Is it going to happen?
Good value.
Probably not, but hey. Value. Yeah, it's great value play, so fuck it. And you can hedge against it. So
exactly. So, yeah, this is where it comes falling apart. A&M's on the road. And I tell you what, it's in the Grove and game day's there. Katie, I think
if,
I saw somebody
if
say,
Katy Perry shows up, bet everything you own on the fucking Rebs, y'all.
Absolutely unbelievable. God, I hope we are blessed again with that. If they pick some sorry-ass picker after we've had the...
Underrated part of that whole story, she was like 7-2.
Yeah.
Like she fucking killed it.
She killed it. She was like asking people, who do I take? And then she just made stuff entertaining.
Try to holler at Trevin Knight from Oklahoma.
That was awesome. I really want to know if somehow he got Katy Perry's number.
Man, if he didn't slide in the DMs, that boy fucked up.
No shit, right? Okay, well, let's move over to a decidedly different atmosphere, a decidedly different game. This is on ESPNU. Half an hour after that SEC battle kicks off, we got Texas facing Kansas. As a 30.5 point favorite. Oh boy. Okay. So if y'all don't remember the history right now of Texas and Kansas, you might want a refresher because for whatever fucking reason right now, Kansas makes Texas life a living hell. You got players on buses screaming at their teammates. You got stripper monkeys biting people. You got Sark trying to figure out why his offense can only score in the first quarter or the first half. And meanwhile, Texas hasn't been able to cover shit. Why in the hell would I trust them now against a team that, for whatever reason, year after year, seems to just come and bite them in the ass? Whether it's a loss or a win for Texas, it's annoying, it's awful, and I have a grand old time laughing my ass off. Who do you got, Eddie?
So you're taking Kansas?
I'm taking Kansas. Too many points, Eddie.
Ryan, We've come to an inflection point.
Oh, boy.
Steve Sarkisian has already lost more games in a season than Tom Herman, lost a game worse than Tom Herman, gave up a bigger lead than Tom Herman, lost more games in a row than Tom Herman. And as you mentioned, Kansas is the fucking harbinger of Texas coaching doom. They ended Charlie. Kansas has gotten frisky the last few years. You've already got the best receiver from last year transferring out. You've got, I thought it was a position coach. Was it a player that was yelling on the bus?
It was a player. It's come out that it is a player. I thought it was a position coach too. But good old folks in forums that are just not creepy at all have recognized the player's voice, and I have seen his name on Twitter from local DFW media.
Gotcha. Okay, that I will trust those fucking creepy perverts to figure that out, because they're good at what they do, and God, may they never have a reason to ever look into my life for
anything.
Sark knows he is fucking up every which way. They have to come out and beat the dog shit out of Kansas. And here's the thing. Kansas played one game all year, and that was Oklahoma. They're 1-6 against the number the rest of the year. They are as bad as we think they are. Texas has to come out and fucking crush them, because if they don't cover, Sark should be fired. He should not finish the year. Like, this is fucking ridiculous. If give me the Jean-Luc Picard drop, the line must be drawn here. Like, it's fucking have some pride, my guy. Jesus.
Oh, man. Yeah, the last Action Network doesn't have the spread in 2015, but the last four games, Texas has failed to cover and have lost outright once. Like, it's bad.
It's bad.
I don't know what it is. Doesn't matter if they're home. Doesn't matter if they're away. The game they lost was actually at home, so that doesn't fucking matter. But, oh, man. Yeah, you know what I will say, though, Eddie? I will make a bet on Texas. I am loading up the first half spread. I will take them to cover that shit.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
But the game, hell no. And not until you prove you can start playing in the second half, because ever since that Oklahoma game, like I said, Sark right now, he's playing the 5D chess, man. The more he loses, the less that Oklahoma can actually do to move up in the rankings.
Trying to lull the SEC into a false sense of security.
Oh, it's just fucking hilarious. All right, let's hit up a little Pac-12 after dark. 9:30 Central over on ESPN, we got Wazoo against Oregon in a battle for the Pac-12 North. I'm not even joking. Wazoo has a chance to win this fucking division. I'm not kidding. That wasn't hyperbole at all. Spread of this one, Eddie, is 14. Total's 54. Oregon is laying the points at home. Who you got?
I hate this pick because I remain very heavily invested in Wazoo failing, and they are perilously close to not getting the number I need. And here's the main reason. It's because they're fucking covering machines. They're 6-2 against the number on the year, 3-0 as a dog. Oregon's only covered two games of their last six, 0-for as a favorite on the year against the spread.
0-for-5 at home, too.
Yeah, I don't think this Oregon team is that good. The fact that they are still ranked as high as they are, how they're not, this is like, God, who was it Ohio State lost to like 3 years ago? Was it the bad V-Tech team?
They had V-Tech. They had a Purdue loss too in there. It's one of
those. No, they got punished for that one. I think it's the Va-Tech one when Va-Tech won like five games that year that it just got swept under the rug.
And that was
like
the only one that won the title too, if I remember right.
Yeah, it was. Like how they swept the Stanford loss under the rug for this Oregon team, I still don't understand. But Oregon doesn't cover. They just don't. Give me Wazoo. Ew, gross.
Yeah, it's gross, but you know what? I'm going to have some, because one of my terrible drinks involves some Fireball. I don't know if I will be awake for this game, because I will either be delirious and drunk or dead asleep. One of these two things are going to happen. There's going to be no in between. There'll be a little Fireball in here. I will be ingesting some Fireball at some point, I'm sure, with my awful drinks. Like you said, Wazoo's been covering and Oregon hasn't. And every week, it seems like we've had one team that is up there, either the AP rankings or the college playoff rankings of, hey, this could be a playoff team. And then there's the fall from grace. We thought Oregon already had it earlier this year. Guess they got to have one more. If they can lose to a shitty Stanford team, they can lose to anybody. So 14 points against a Wazoo team that's got a bit of fight in them and apparently are still playing for their old coach. Whatever. All I know is they're playing decent football. Oregon's look like garbage. They are very lucky. Washington doesn't realize when they should or should not punt. That was an absolutely atrocious decision. And Washington deserve to lose that game. Don't think they're going to have the same issues here. So go ahead and fucking give me the Road Dogs, man. Ugh, I feel nasty too.
It's gross, right?
All right, well, speaking of feeling gross and what the hell are we going to do here, Notre Dame and Virginia. We've come to this point in the season to where it's really the last game of note for Notre Dame. I mean, Georgia Tech could be feisty. Stanford, noted dog shit. This is the one where things get a little bit dicey, especially on the road. But Notre Dame is still a 5.5-point favorite coming down from a 7.5-point open. Virginia and Notre Dame, total 64.5. This is 6:30, your prime time ABC matchup. So we said it before, Eddie, that there would be a time to fade Notre Dame when we both pointed at this game. We took Navy and faded the Irish there. Happy to be wrong on that one.
Indeed.
Here's my concern with Notre Dame. Now, I don't know if Virginia is going to have a healthy quarterback or not. Armstrong's ribs are still probably fucked up. But what worries me more than anything is that this game is on the road. And if you take a look at the road, or really the only non-South Bend game that Notre Dame's performed well in, is when they picked off Graham Mertz repeatedly. Otherwise, it has been hold on to your butts. We're going for a ride. And Jonathan Dorr is going to have to win the fucking football game for us. That's the way it's been all season. So when you have that, 5.5 points really makes me want to fade, Eddie. And I'm going to go ahead and do it. I got to. The other problem is the world is starting to go on ND. We got reverse line movement, which is weird. Man, I don't know. If Armstrong is hurt, this is probably a bad pick. But it's just, I've seen Notre Dame on the road. That's just how they win. It's how they operate. This game could easily turn into a shootout. And yes, I know Notre Dame doesn't have a high-powered offense, but Virginia's defense might just be worse than anything we faced yet. They're real bad. They can't stop the run to save their lives. They can't stop really anything to save their lives. So I don't know if Kyle Hamilton's playing. That's another thing to keep in mind here. Brian Kelly said if he's cleared, he can play, which is starting to say that maybe Kyle's making a business decision, which I do not fault him for, whatever. So there's a whole lot of we don't know on the injury front. I know, if anything, the secondary for Notre Dame could play a lot better, and every now and then they have lapses. If Armstrong's ribs are really fucked up, it should be an easy cover for Notre Dame, but we've just seen the easy covers not happen on the road. And this team, this Virginia team, could put up the points. If we're going to end up in a shootout, Eddie, you take the point. So I'm going to make what feels like the smart play here. Take Virginia. Who do you got?
We're flipping roles in a strange way. I'm taking the Irish here.
Oh, baby. Here we go.
And something you said kind of encapsulates it perfectly. If Armstrong doesn't play, 5.5 should be an easy number to cover.
Yep.
I don't know if Armstrong is healthy. It could be gamesmanship from Mendenhall. I don't know. But let's play this out. UVA has no playoff shot. They do have an outside shot at the ACC title. What's more important, a game against Notre Dame or your last two conference games to get you a shot at the championship when Clemson sucks and it may be your one shot in the next decade? So I think similarly, business decision-wise, you could have Virginia say, you know what? Brennan, go ahead. Just take another week. Get you a nice little hot tub. Chill in the ice bath. Let's get you healthy. We don't need Isaiah Foskey coming and breaking you in half. We don't need Jordan Patello coming to try and fucking Mortal Kombat 2 fatality your face off. Because that's what he wants to do. That boy is violent. Meanwhile, their defense sucks. Their rushing defense really fucking sucks. Kyren has been getting real frisky lately. The changing around on the offensive line has been huge. We're actually getting time to hand the ball off without a defender at the point of changing possession to immediately snuff out plays. Logan Diggs has been great in relief. I guess Chris Tyree is now doghoused because of Turk Toe. I don't know. It could just be, let's let the kids play.
I'm fine with being overly careful on that fucking turf toe. That shit's nasty.
For sure. No, it sucks.
Go take a look at Deion Sanders' toe if you want to lose your dinner.
I would prefer not to. Thank you. But at the end of the day, I'm kind of banking on Armstrong not playing here on Wednesday.
Okay.
Because I think if he does play and he's 100%, then yeah, I think Fade's the right play. And I also think the number is going to change on you pretty quick. But as of now, the number is low enough to where there is still value on Notre Dame if you are going to assume he's not going to play. And we know their defense is trash. So I think Notre Dame's going to put up points. I'm very eager to see what they put up as a team total for Notre Dame. I'm hoping it's in the 35 range so that I can just pound that sucker, because I think we're going to score plenty. But I'm going to take the Irish State.
Wow, I never thought I'd see the day, Eddie. Never thought I'd see the day. I faded Notre. I think the only other time this happened was the Alabama game in the playoffs.
How'd that one go?
It didn't go well for me. In fact, I think
asterisk remains. Yeah, never been beaten.
Yeah, and I think it also cost me some money on Extra Life, too.
Yes, it did.
But yeah, I can't get over the prevailing thought. And I was real close to trying to top myself into Notre Dame, like right as I made the pause. But it was just, I can't get it out of my head that when we go on the road, we fucking have to kick a field goal to win, because Virginia Tech wasn't that good either. Fuck, their quarterback wasn't anywhere close to as good as what we're potentially going to play. And we let them fucking run everywhere. And I don't know what it is. Look, playing on the road is hard. Winning is hard. Shout out Rakes. Go ahead and give the podcast promo, Eddie. Go for it.
Pod at the Montecito, kids. At Montecito Pod on Twitter.
I thought he was going to do the Rakes promo first. Damn.
Gotta keep you guessing.
All right. Yeah. So that's what I can't get out of my head. Look, winning's hard. Winning on the road is hard. I do think it helps that we got a better offensive line set up. I think Notre Dame is going to try to take the air out of the ball, especially if Armstrong's playing. But, man, I don't have a good feeling. I don't want to be hurt. And you know what? I faded the Irish last time they fucking covered. You know how I felt at the end of the day, Eddie? I felt fucking fine. Hedging happiness is a great strategy. But here's one thing we do have, kids. Eddie and I have, again, disagreed on 4 games. Will we have 2 weeks in a row of Splitsville?
I'm going to get Irish and Miami, and you're going to get Kansas and Purdue, is how this goes.
Probably. Oh, man. Hey, I hope that's the case. I want to be wrong on this, because I would very much, because again, I want to be dog tired. I don't want to be sweating out a fucking game at Virginia again. Last time they played at Virginia, I was there. I had to sweat that out. I was in that lawn student section, whatever, which meant I had a great view. I was right in that end zone corner of Will Fuller grabbing the ball. And my friends and I being like the only 6 people jumping up in that whole fucking lawn amongst an entire surrender cobra nest. Oh, man. It was beautiful. It was glorious. It gave us one of the great college football memes of all time. I would very much not like to have that happen again. Just win big. Prove me wrong again. And I think it'll be fine. Eddie, send us home.
Kids, it's November. We're running out of weeks here. enjoy this slate. We've got a fun slate for you this week, pretty much top to bottom. There's a game in every time zone that should be a good time. But the real thing is, we're running out of games, y'all. This is week 11. There are, count them, 3 regular season games for your Fighting Irish left. Got to cherish it. Got to enjoy them. Allegedly, college basketball started. I'm sure I'll tune in. I'll tune in February. I don't care. Still college football season, baby. Enjoy it, kids. Come on out. Go check out Ryan's stream. It's always a good time. I had to miss a couple of them because of shenanigans, but luckily there's no wedding this weekend, so I'll be able to to jump in and see if we can't cause some havoc, raise some money for a good cause. But yeah, enjoy yourselves. Have a good weekend. And as always, go Irish. Hail Gambler.
All right, that'll do it for us. And of course, you can keep subscribing to this pod. There's only a few episodes left. We got a couple months of this craziness to go. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast feeds at. HerLittleSons.com/Discord is where you can join us in the live chat channel. Twitch.tv/HerLittleSons, Thursday at 9 p.m. Central. Of course, you can always find us in our home at HerLittleSons. Thank you all, and go Irish. Be Cavaliers. Bye a lot, please. Have a good one.